This next kina is kina Yud Gimel, kina 13. It can be found in the Koran on page 317, in the Rosenfeld on 109, and in the Art Scroll on 192. The first words of this kina and its title are Eiko. Where is so? This kina is built around the word Eicha, and it's used as a portmanteau, as a combination of the words Eiko, where is ko? These are allusions to biblical verses of mitzvos and events that involve the word ko, so. And nevertheless, despite those events and mitzvos, the merits were insufficient to stop the calamity that befell us. But why use the word ko? Why use the word so? It's an allusion to the relatively common phrase ko amar Hashem. So says Hashem in prophecy, when Hashem communicates with a Navi, with a prophet. Ko is a sign of clarity, of direction from Hashem. It is a clarity and a sense of purpose that we had even in exile, even in Mitzrayim, even when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, even when Yaakov was in Haran, we still had the word ko, we still had God's sense of clarity. But it doesn't mean what we would think at first, because there are actually two languages that God uses to communicate with humanity, the word ko and the word zeh. And paradoxically, zeh is actually a clearer method of communication, crystal clear. God is telling us explicitly what to do, like in the Torah. When God communicates in the Torah, he says the word zeh. Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Ko is a much lower degree of communication. It's humanity interpreting God's will. That's how the Rambam, in the laws of Yisodei HaTorah, describes the phenomenon of the dynamic of prophecy. That God sends this message to the prophet, and then the prophet uses his or her own tools and training and life events and subconscious to interpret the message. And what we're mourning in this kina is the loss of ko, not zeh. We still have the zeh in the Torah, even in exile. The goal of the Jewish people, though, was to live a life of ko, to be so close to God that we can hear his voice and share his will, even when he's not explicitly talking to us. It comes from within. We have this intimate connection with God that we can understand him just because of who we are and how close we are. Our perspective on life and the world is completely in sync with God. That's what we had with the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we mourn the loss of. So what exactly happened, though, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? So the Medrash says that the word Eicha is the same letters that is used when God said to Adam, the first person to ever commit a sin, Ayeka, where are you? After Adam and Eve ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, they became aware of the full magnitude of what they had done, and they were ashamed, and they hid themselves. So God walked and tried to give them an opportunity to do tshuva, and he asked Adam, Ayeka, where are you? There's a certain distance from God that because of our actions we've created. And the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim, he explains what happened when we ate from the tree of knowledge, from the Eitz Hadas. He says, before that point, we saw things black and white in terms of emes and sheker, truth and falsehood. There was no subjectivity. But when we ate from the Eitz Hadas, when we ate from the tree of knowledge, of tov vara, of good and bad, it introduced bias. It introduced relativism. It introduced subjectivity into our calculus of decision-making. In effect, Hashem didn't leave, but there was a foreign influence that was now added into the equation. Our world grew more complicated and confusing with foreign, subjective, and partial perspectives. And that's what happened with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and being thrown into exile as well. God didn't leave us, but there were foreign, subjective, and partial, incomplete influences that infected us as well. And that actually makes it even worse, because sometimes we feel something or we want something so strongly, and yet now we don't know if that's God talking or that's our personal subjective bias, or perhaps even scarier, the caprice of circumstances. In Shmuel Aleph, when King Shaul is basically taken away, he's deposed by God. God says, I'm going to take away the kingship from you. He falls into a depression, a psychological depression that the commentaries explain was that God didn't leave Shaul, but rather God also created this other mental state. And the real trauma was that Shaul didn't know when he thought of an idea whether it was God talking or whether it was something else. And that was the greatest source of heartbreak for Shaul. And that's what we mourn with the loss of our Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was our link to emes, of truth. It was our link to clarity and direction in life, not just when things are crystal clear, but to even find Hashem's voice and hand, even in the murkier times in life. I'll just finish that the Rambam says that Mashiach is not going to be the harbinger of a utopian era. But rather, the only difference between now and then will be that we'll be close to God. We will have both the zeh and the ko, both the black and white and the gray, to be able to see God's hand in our lives. And that's what we mourn when we say a ko.